1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 2, not 4. I was looking for my notes and I said, wait a minute, that ain't 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we'll get it right. Hopefully it's up from here. I'm glad I got saved. And if you're not saved, I hope that by the time this service is over, I can persuade you to realize you need to be saved. I want to start, my plan is to start a series on the day. I don't know how long I'll do it. It might go for a few weeks anyway. I'm sure it'll go for a few weeks. It might go for 6 weeks. But I want to start a series on certainties. Now notice this. This is from my Funkin Wagnall desktop dictionary. Certain. The definition of certain is absolutely confident, convinced, sure, beyond doubt, and indisputable. Now I know you've heard this quote, right? Nothing is certain, but I got a lot of scripture, so I wanted to get it up here. I want everybody to see this. I want to really bring this out so you understand. Hopefully I can present it that way. But you've heard this quote, nothing is certain but death and taxes. Anybody know who said that quote? Ben Franklin said that. Isn't that something? Yeah, Ben Franklin said that quote, nothing is certain but death and taxes. Well, I'm here to tell you there are more things that are certain than death and taxes, right? We can be sure of some more things other than death and taxes. And God has given us some certainties. And that's going to be the topic of this series. And we're going to start right at the very beginning. I read this story about Vince Lombardi. If you're a football fan, you know who he is. And he took over the Green Bay Packers and they were bad. I mean, they were one of the worst teams in the NFL. He was hired to coach them. His first meeting with the team as coach, he held up a football and he said, gentlemen, this is a football. So we're going to start at the very beginning of our certainties. And there are some rock-rib truths that you and I can stand on and be absolutely certain of. I'm glad for that. See, we don't have a God that leaves us guessing. Amen? We have a God that has given us some truths that we can stand on, some truths that we can base our life upon, raise our children on, rear our family in, and truths that we can leave this world by. There's some things that we can be absolutely certain of. Thank God, I'm telling you. I'm glad for that. And I'm going to try and use this a little more in this series so I can bring it out. So bear with me. I may have to preach with this in my hand. I may try to wipe the sweat with this clicker and try to click but I'll work it out. All right. Some certainties. And so here's the football. Here's the very beginning. This is the basic 101 of life. And this is what you can absolutely be certain of. Number one, I got three this morning. Number one, everyone needs to be saved. Amen? Everyone needs to be saved. Listen, you're not a sinner because you've sinned. You sin because you are a sinner. You are a sinner by birth, a sinner by nature, and a sinner by inheritance. You know why? Because the first man and woman that was created by God, Adam and Eve, were placed in the garden, and God gave them one command, one directive, and he said to them, you shall eat of all the other trees, but of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. One directive, one command. That was the only thing they had that they could not do. And that was the one thing they chose to do. And when they chose to do that, you know why? That somebody says, well, preacher, why did God put that tree there? Because God gave you and I a free will. God gave you and I, as humans made in his image, the ability to make choices. And if we do not have the choice, love is not love without a choice, right? Obedience is not obedience without a choice. And if we can't make the choice, we are nothing more than puppets. So God put the tree there, told them the one thing not to do. They ate of the tree and sin passed upon all because they sinned. They knew then that they were naked. A new nature came on them, a sin nature, and they began to have children, and their children begin to take on that sin nature until it's been passed down to me and you. Listen to this now. My grandchildren I love my grandkids. They bring so much joy to my wife and I's life. They are sinners. You want to know why? Because my children are sinners by nature. They have inherited from me. You say, preacher? Yes. I was born with a sin nature. Why? Because my dad and mom have a sin. You get what I'm saying? On and on and on it goes. And so by nature, you and I are sinners. Listen, God protects those that are innocent. Children have a nature, an innocent nature, but at some point in their lives, they will come to the place where they know also that they need Christ, where they know, that they're not innocent anymore, and Christ will speak to them. Now, let me give you some scripture. This is why I want to prove this to you. I don't want you to just take my word for it. I want to prove it. We're sinners. Bible tells us, Isaiah 50, and this is just a few of them. Every one of them has gone back. They are altogether filthy. There is none that does good, no, not one. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, who? Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 64:6. But we are like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Right? Did I make my case? Right? We are sinners by nature. We can't help it. There's not something you do that makes you a sinner. You're born that way. So that's the first thing we need to realize. And let me just add here. There is a penalty for our sin nature. And the Bible tells, just a couple verses here. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, death through sin, and thus death has spread to all men, passed on all men, because all have sinned. A-L-L. All means all, right? And that's in the other verses. All we like sheep. All means all. It means everyone, from start to finish. Romans 6:23a, the first part of the verse says, for the wages of sin is death. There is a penalty. Now, this penalty entails more than just a physical death, because we all know as mortals, we all face that down the road. That's why death came into the world, because Adam and Eve sinned. But it also means separation from God. It also means wages, this earning of your sin nature and rejecting Christ, that you will be separated from God, and that is much worse, friend, than just a physical death. Amen? Amen? That's much worse. Separation from God. All right. Here's the good news. I saved the second part of Romans 6:23b. You saw this one coming, right? The first part said, for the wages of sin is death. Remember that word but? What does it mean? It means it's contrary to what has just been said. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Number one certainty is everyone needs to be saved. Number two certainty is this: there is only one way that you and I can obtain salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2:5, I had you turn there, but I have it up here, says this: there is one God. Now, listen, former Catholics, current Catholics, I want you to listen to this verse, okay? It's in 1 Timothy 2:5. I'm not throwing off on you, and I'm not trying to be cute. I want you to get this. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Right? That means that there is no priest that can get in a booth and tell you, confess your sins to me, and he can give you the remedy in going out and Hail Marys and all of these things. That is not biblical. Mary, the mother of Jesus, cannot intercede for you. No angel can intercede for you. No saint from the past can intercede for you. There's only one. The Bible says Christ is at the right hand of the Father now as our high priest. There is only one interceder, and that is Christ Jesus. There's only one way that we can be saved. There's not a lot of roads that leads to heaven. There's not a lot of, there's no other saviors, there's no other lords, there is only Christ Jesus. Listen, there's not Muhammad, right? There's not, Joseph Smith, there's not, Kim Jong-un, there's nobody else, there's nobody except Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I am the door into the sheepfold. The Bible says there's one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. It is through the name of Jesus. We sing that song, How Great is Our God. And we talk about name above all names. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that at that name, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The question is, will you do it now or will you do it at the judgment day when it'll be too late? Okay, certainty number one, everyone needs to be saved. I'm right on time. Certainty number two, there's only one way to be saved. Certainty number three, and we're going to spend a little bit more time on this one because this is the one I really wanted to get to. And I want you to understand this. God desires all people to be saved. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. 1 Timothy 2:4 tells us that. It says, who will, King James says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? That is God's desire. Now, there's, and I want to bring this out because I want you to remember the three schools of thought. Now, some people, I've met people in my life. I've talked to them. Maybe you've met them, Brother Joshua. Maybe some of you older folks have met them. You talk to people and they say, I've had people tell me, I've been too bad, preacher. I've done too many wicked things. I met people who told me that and then got saved after they told me that. Oh, listen, I met people who didn't get saved. People said, oh, I've been a bad person. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad I've been. You don't know what baggage I'm carrying. I'm here to tell you it doesn't matter. I don't care what you've done in the past. I don't care how much baggage you have today. God desires to save you. And He can. Don't tell me the God that created something from nothing. I had to get that right. Stepped out on nothing and made something. Created man, hung the stars, the moon, made the sun. Cannot reach down and pick you up out of the mire you're in. He's able. God. So some say, well, I can't be saved. Some say we're predestined to be saved or lost. Y'all know that doctrine? That's called Calvinism. We are not Calvinists. We are Arminianists. Arminianists means that we believe that we have a free will to choose. But the Calvinist doctrine says, and I've there's a lot of good preachers that believe this, that you're born either predestined to go to heaven or go to hell. Now, I got to tell you something. That verse right there backs up what we believe. Who will have all. All means all. If it wasn't possible for all, God wouldn't have put all right there. Listen, you have a choice to make. It is, you are your own free moral agent. Right? And so you must make the choice. Some people say, well, we're predestined. Not true. You have to make the choice. And the third, now some people read this and they'll say, the Bible says God will have all men to be saved. Well, that means, they say, well, that means God will have all men to be saved. Now, I got to tell you something. Let me give you just a real quick lesson here. That word will in the Greek, there's two words for will in the Greek. Number one means determined and set, right? So, and if that was the Greek word that was used, it would mean God has set all men's going to be saved. Some people believe at the end God's going to rescue everybody and everybody's going to go to heaven. Don't matter how you live, what you know, whether you receive Christ or not. And that's really the issue, have you received Christ? At the end, they'll say, that doesn't matter. God's going to save everybody. I want to tell you something today. That's not what Greek word is used there. The Greek word used here where it says, who will have all men to be saved, is a strong desire. That's the word that's used there. It means God desires. New King James says desire. It means wish or desire. And that's the word used. So here's what it means. It means God desires. God wants everyone to be saved. Right? That's what that tells us. So all three of those schools of thought are wrong. Are you with me so far? Am I being clear? Number one, all people need to be saved. Number two, there's only one way. Number three, God wants everyone to be saved. All right, now. Okay, I'm going to wrap. Now again, if I spend 2 minutes on each one, it'll be 10 minutes, right? I got five points here. I might spend three or four. I can't promise just two. But I want to make my case now. I want to give you five reasons why we are certain. This is the certainty that God wants all people to be saved. In this chapter I had you turn to in 1 Timothy 2:1, I shared this with the guys on Thursday. Man, I've just been wallowing in this passage all week. I can't get out of it. Timothy is told by Paul, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for how many people? All. All men, all people. Now, that covers the whole list of prayer, supplication, that is, you know, praying for someone else's need or asking for your own need. Prayer, sometimes just talking to God. Have you just got on your knees and said, Lord, I just want to talk to you a little bit. I just want to say I love you and I thank you and I praise you and didn't bring any requests whatsoever. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I've talked to people and they say, the only time my kid calls when they want some, right? I wonder if God feels like that about us. Sometimes we need just to get on our knees and say, Lord, I just want to talk for a minute. I want to say, thank you, Lord, right? Oh, you've been so good to me. Can you say amen? See, he covers it all. Supplications, your needs, prayers, just talking to him, and intercessions. Intercessions means standing in the gap on behalf of someone else. It means you come and you say, Lord, so-and-so is lost. I want to tell you something. Remember that old song we used to sing? Somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They sacrificed their time, right? Somebody, I'm here. My wife is here because when my mom and dad got saved, they decided they wanted us to be saved. And they got on their knees and they began to cry out to God. And God heard their prayer. They interceded on our behalf. They prayed for us. Chances are, you can think back right now, and if you think about it, you know that you're sitting here today because somebody prayed for you. He tells us, intercede for all. That means lost people. Stand in the gap for them. You got lost children? Stand in the gap for them. You got lost loved ones? Stand in the gap for them. You got a lost somebody at work you have on your mind, stand in the gap for them. Pray for them. Take them before God. God, touch their hearts. God, make them miserable. God, make their pillow hard. God, get their attention. Hey, listen. And sometimes it does good to maybe shed a few tears while we're praying that prayer. God understands and sees our tears. So number one, I got about 4 minutes on that one. Reasons, number one, we're to pray for all people. All means all. God wants all to be saved. Number two, Christ gave himself for all. 1 Timothy 2:6, in this passage here, he says, who gave himself a ransom for who? Say all. He gave himself a ransom for all. Christ died for all. Listen, if there was just a few select chosen that would be saved, that verse would not say that he died for all. Christ's death covers the sins of all humanity. When he died on the rugged cross, he died in place for all men. He bore the shame, took the punishment, died the death, and rose again so that all we have to do now is come to him and accept what he's done. And his righteousness and his finished work at Calvary is then put on our account. Right? Christ gave himself for us. That's not just here. That's the teaching in all of Scripture. 2 Peter 3:9, you know that verse. Lord's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, that is patient toward us, not willing that any should perish. But how many? all should come unto repentance. God wants all to be saved. And you know what God has done? God has put blockades on the way to hell in people's lives. Say, preacher, you're talking about hell again. It's true. God has put the blood of Christ in the way. The cross of Christ. God has put the church. God has put the Bible. God has put the prayers of saints in your way so you don't have to go there. Because God wants all people to be saved. Hey, listen, that's good preaching. That's the truth. Right? Let me back up here. Number three. That was number three. So number three was the teaching is in all of Scripture. Let me move on. Number four. God never refuses anyone. There's never been anyone come to Christ that was sincere, that was had pure motives. Now, you know, I got to say, sometimes, folks come to the altar, and I've prayed with a lot of folks. They come to the altar, and then they come back one or two more times, and they don't come back, and I got to ask myself, I wonder if they really got saved. Do you agree with that? We were at a funeral the other day. One of my dad's second cousins passed away, and we was at a funeral, and the preacher did a great, it was a graveside service, but man, I mean, there was probably, there had to be 150 people there. I'd never seen a graveside service like this in my life. And so we were in, standing there and paying our respects, and the preacher, he did a good job. He talked about Lazarus. But then I guess I'm already started, and I guess I am being critical, but this is a fear of mine. At the end, he had everybody bow their heads, and he led us in a prayer of repentance. And he said, if you prayed that prayer, you're saved. But I got to tell you something. I fear that kind of repentance. Do you? You see, I think it takes serious seeking on you. I think it needs to be serious. I think it needs to be more than just bowing your head because somebody led you, told you to do that and led you in this prayer and says, now if you did that, you're saved. I believe it takes more than that. I believe you got to be sincere. Now, we don't work for it, but I believe you have to seek the Lord on your own. You have to know that He's speaking to your heart and come to Him of your own volition, not be coerced into it. God never refuses anybody, but I think we need to be careful with that kind of thing. Jesus even said, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will no wise cast out. There's no way I will cast you out. The Lord says, if you come to me and you're serious, I'm going to save you. I'm going to change your life. I'm going to transform you. Right? Number five, because of the gift of His Son. Romans 8:32 says, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? John 3:16, you know that verse, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what Romans 5:8 says? But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Are you still with me? Listen, number one certainty is everyone needs to be saved. Everyone, all. I showed you that with the Scriptures. Number two, there's only one way to be saved. I showed you that with the Scriptures. Not just me telling you, the Bible tells us that. Number three, God desires to save all. And all means all. I've given you the reasons why. And they're so important. He's told us to pray. Now, if the possibility wasn't there for God to save everyone, He wouldn't tell us to pray so that everyone does get saved. Right? Two, Christ gave Himself for all. Three, the teaching of the Scriptures. Four, God has never refused anyone. And the gift, and here's what I want to say about the gift part, and then we're going to close. You know, you must receive a gift, and that gets back to that leading that prayer of repentance. I could tell you how to pray that prayer, that you need to come to the Lord, and you need to believe in your heart. You need to believe that He's been dead, crucified, buried, and that He rose again, and you need to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is not a free will Baptist term. This is a Bible term, saved. And you need to pray that type of prayer. But when I got saved, you know what I prayed? I told you this, but maybe some haven't. But you know what I prayed? I came to the Lord, and I simply said this, Lord, would You save me? I didn't know how to pray. I didn't even know about a sinner's prayer. I think you just need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, save me. I'm lost. I need you. You can't get found until you know you're lost. And if you don't know Christ, you are lost. If you've never received Christ, you're in danger. You say, well, you know, I got time to do it. Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Because the truth is, none of us know what tomorrow's going to bring. Let's get a song. I was thinking about those heroic stories that we heard, in the recent shooting in Las Vegas. And, you know, when you read these things, it really does inspire you. I was thinking about that guy that, you know, one fella, the only time you ever get commended for stealing a truck, and they give you a new one because he stole somebody's truck and just filled it up with wounded people and took them to the hospital. I mean, that's a great thing, isn't it? People shielding their loved ones, bullets flying, and people running to help other people. I mean, how inspiring is that? And I guess we'd all like to think if that happened, we could rise to that occasion. You know what? Jesus did much more than that for you. See, he knew what he was getting into. He knew when he came here what he faced. He knew his whole life he lived in the shadow of a cross. He knew it. And yet he came anyway. The Bible says he humbled himself, made himself of no reputation. He could have made a big reputation, but he didn't. But he humbled himself, and it says he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And at his name, every knee would bow and every tongue confess. It's all about Jesus. So God wants to save you. You need to be saved, and there's one way to be saved. Now the ball is in your court, so to speak. Now it's on you. You've heard, and now there's no more excuses. You know today that Christ can save you, change your life. Listen, let me just say, man, if you believe, if this is true in your life, wasn't getting saved the best thing that ever happened to you?
Amen.
Amen. If you had a chance to do it over again, would you do it sooner?
Amen.
Amen. Listen, lost person, we love you, and we're not trying to single you out or anything. I just want you to know how important it is and how burdened we are for you. God loves you most of all, and he wants to change your life. Father, we love you today, and we thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, that we have a loving God, a loving Savior, one who, the Bible says, greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends, and you did that for us. You took my shame. You took my punishment. You died my death. You told us in Hebrews, you tasted death for every man. You took the medicine so that we could go free by accepting what you've done at Calvary, the finished work of your mission. Thank you. You told us in Luke that you came to seek and save that which is lost. Thank you. You're still seeking and saving that which is lost. Speak to our hearts today. I'm glad there's certainties, Lord. I'm glad we can live our life in certain truths and know that we have a better place to go when this life is over, all because of Calvary, because of Jesus. Speak to our hearts today in Christ's name. Amen.